time and time again, the Bible predicts that there will come a day when God will be honored and worshiped by the entire universe. And for example, when Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians, he said that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Philippians 2:10. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself just exactly how is that going to happen? How is God going to cause everyone in the entire world to bow before him? We live in a world that is filled with false religions that actually blaspheme him and his son. We live in a world that mocks God and hates God. So how is it that God will bring every person in the world to a point when they are bowing before him? And we get that answer in part from Psalm 66. We don't exactly know who wrote this psalm because the superscription does not tell us. It's possible it's written by David because it does sit in a context that features many Davidic psalms. We do learn from the superscription that it was a psalm written for the choir director, which means it would be communicated publicly. We also learn it was a song, which means it was to be sung. It's also stated that it's a psalm, which means it's carefully constructed poem that obviously is to be sung. Furthermore, there are three selahs in the psalm, which means we are to stop and carefully think about what it's teaching. Even though we don't know who wrote the psalm, we do see the theme of the psalm. God is to be and will be worshipped and praised by everyone in this world, and the whole world will ultimately stand in awe of what God has done. Now, the essence of this psalm is that one may stand in awe of God. Now or one day, God will ultimately force one to stand in awe of him. That day will be during the millennium. In fact, one commentator gave a title of the psalm, More About the Millennium. There are four admonitions that comprise this psalm. The first one is an admonition to verbally praise God. Look at verses 1 through 4. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Selah. Notice the emphasis on verbally exalting God in this text. People are to shout, people are to sing, and people are to say. In other words, there'll come a day when the one thing that people will be talking and singing about will be the greatness and majesty of God. People should be and will be talking about God's awesome power. There'll come a day when all people on the earth will shout joyfully to God. There'll come a day when all people will sing to the glory of God and will praise his glorious name. There will come a day when people will say how awesome God is. And according to verse 3, even the enemies of God and Israel will attempt to obey God because they will recognize his sovereign power. One commentator said there will not be much fight left in any Gentile nation after Armageddon. And of course, feigning obedience will not fool God. The nations will all be judged. And just because one pretended to obey does not mean he is right with God. As verse 4 says, all the earth will one day worship God and sing praises to God in his name. It's not an option to respond to the gospel. It's a statement of fact. There will come a day when everyone in the world will worship God. And Selah means stop and think about that for a moment. Now, the specific time when this will happen will be the millennium. The entire world will be brought to its knees. There'll be a prelude to worldwide worship. One thing we do see from these verses is that our job right now is to talk about God. It's our responsibility to exalt God. We should be using our speech in a God-honoring way. But there's an admonition also to consider the awesome work of God. Look at verses 5 through 7. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Selah. The psalm lists some things that God has done for his people, specifically Israel. He has done some awesome things. One of the first things that will be observed after the tribulation is the judgment of the nations. He will pronounce a judgment on the sons of men. All will stand in awe of this. One of the things that we need to be talking about is the great sovereign power of the great glorious God. Because God parted the Red Sea. Israel left Egypt and God parted the sea for Israel to escape. And the purpose of this act was to display the awesome power of God. Now think for a moment about what happened at that sea episode. Israel was saved and the Egyptians were destroyed, and God is to be praised because of this awesome work. God parted the Jordan River. Joshua led Israel into the promised land by God drying up the Jordan. And by drying up the Jordan, Israel crossed into the promised land and slaughtered the Amorites and the Canaanites. And then God rules everything by his might forever. It's a statement of fact. God is always ruling at all times and in all things. He always has the final say in everything. God watches the nations at all times. Here's a key verse that does teach us God watches all the governments of the world. God monitors all the governments of the world and observes what they are doing. He specifically watches their actions and attitudes in regard to Israel. And God does not let the rebellious exalt themselves. The goal of many nations is to exalt themselves above Israel. This is the goal of Iran, Iraq, and Egypt, just to name a few. God will never let that happen. God will always end up destroying any nations who try to exalt themselves above him and above his word and above his people. We pray that America would not fall for this. Then there's the admonition for all people to praise God. Look at verse 8. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to the place of abundance. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to you, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fattened animals with the smoke of the sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Selah. Not only should Israel praise God, but all people should sound forth his praises. Why? Because God is sovereignly at work. Even in the worst of times of our lives, he is sovereignly at work developing us for his glory. Because God keeps us in life. God has protected Israel and kept Israel throughout her entire existence. He has done the same with us. Just think about the fact that your life, your existence, is totally and sovereignly controlled by God. Paul said in Colossians 1, 16 and 17, that Jesus Christ was involved in creating all things, and he is the one who holds all things together, including our very life. Because God does not allow us to slip away. We've all stood on some slippery slopes that could have caused us to slip right away into eternity, but God has not allowed us to slip away. The real security we have for everything is not a doctor or medicine, it's our God. Because God does refine us to make us pure. The Great Tribulation will be the ultimate refining furnace for Israel, but God will put her in that furnace and she will come out pure. One reason why God permits us to go through difficulty is to refine us. And it's because God leads us from desolation to abundance. That word abundance in verse 12 is a rare word. It only occurs here and in Psalm 23:5, where David says, "My cup runneth over." And the point of this is that God takes his people through low times and bring them to an abundant level of blessing in which their cup runs over. For the people of God, there's always purpose for hardship. God is preparing us for blessing because God leads to his place of worship. We see that it is impossible to praise God and worship God unless we are willing to go to his place of worship. And it requires a proper place, proper offerings, and of being faithful to his word. God does not demand promises or vows. If we make them, we should keep them. And those who follow through and do what they promised are destined for those great blessings. And then lastly, we see the admonition for all who fear God to gather to listen. Verses 16 through 20. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. So any person who fears God needs to hear the personal testimony of what God has done for one right with God. Namely, he has listened to the prayer of his faithful people. Look at that verse 18. It says, God will not answer the prayers of one who has wickedness in his heart. If you know there's something about yourself that makes you guilty before God when you pray, he'll not hear you until you get it resolved. If God has convicted us of some sin and we continue to cherish that sin, indulge in that sin, and not confess that sin, God will not hear our prayer. And verses 19 through 20 make it clear that God will answer the one who does not have wickedness in his heart. And notice at the end of verse 20 that God is a merciful God. One of the great evidences that we are right with God is that God answers our prayers. So we need to remember these things. God's people should verbally testify of God's greatness. What God has done for Israel in the past is cause to praise God in the present. God is sovereignly watching and monitoring the proud and rebellious, and everything God permits in our lives is designed to refine us and lead us to blessing. And true worship that pleases God stems from lives that please God.